That is my tribe. So I have three daughters and a female dog. And three daughters. Daughter number one, her and her husband are missionaries to Northern Asia. Daughter number two, they live in Rapid City. How many of you have ever been to Mount Rushmore? Seen those heads? All right. Carved in granite, four great presidents. And her and her husband live there. And then I have a 16-year-old. And she is our Oregon surprise. She was not planned, and I have not yet been mistaken as her grandfather, and which is kind of awesome. But she's asking me to stay away from her, so maybe that's one of the reasons, or maybe that's a 16, I'm not sure. But thank you, Pastor Jimmy and Dana, and the staff and the leadership here of this great church. I thank God for churches that pray with us and stand with us throughout the year. And as Pastor Jimmy said, you do pray it forward. You've paid it forward and you pray it forward so that we could deploy to the disasters. We're currently serving in 9 disaster areas, and it's crazy at Convoy. I've been there 8 years. I've never seen anything like it in my life while being at Convoy. So we're bringing hope and help to a lot of people. We're in our outreach season. We're feeding kids. We're doing disaster response, and so I'll kind of give you an update and then share the Word of God with you as well today. So it's great to be back in Green Bay. I'm thankful for what you guys do to be your hands and feet. My family, of course, I was telling somebody the other day, I was on the plane and I was sitting next to this really cool dude, and he was telling me, he was a professor at a college on the East Coast, and he just kind of said, hey, you know, what's Convoy of Hope? And I had my shirt on with a little logo, and I was telling him about it. And he said, you know, you've been married and stuff. And yeah. And I said, yeah, I'm married. I've been married 31 years. And I said, we've lied and we've cheated and we've stolen for 31 years. I had his undivided attention. I said, we've lied together for 31 years. We have cheated death and we steal as much time as possible together. And I said, that's the secret to a 31-year marriage. Besides, Jesus is the glue to our marriage. We met at Bethany Bible College in Santa Cruz, California. And the same sticker that was on my surfboard at Bethany is on my travel Bible. And so I just want you to know the Bible's not as old as me. Well, the Bible is older than me, but this Bible is not as old as I am. But I've traveled with this Bible to almost 38 nations and used it to preach in. And it always reminds me of where I started when I asked this Montana girl on a date and took her on a roller coaster ride and ate a hamburger, and we were smitten. And ever since then, God's given us a great life. So, update on hurricane relief. We're currently responding to Harvey, Irma, Maria, the Turks, the Caicos, British Virgin, U.S. Virgin, Texas, Florida, Montana, and now Mexico, with all of the disasters that are happening there. So we're on the ground. So this is the latest from our president, Hal Donaldson, on this video. So Convoy of Hope, I'm going to share with you a second video in just a moment. Convoy of Hope was started 24 years ago, and I just wanted to, for those of you that may not know, we started out as really the compassion ministry arm of the Assemblies of God, our fellowship. And in 2001, we went more multi-denominational, still very much connected with the AG. In fact, our senior partner in Compassion is the Assemblies of God. But we've opened the door, and God's just brought people from all walks of life and all these different organizations and churches to link arms with, to collaborate and partner with, so that we can help people during times of disaster. A couple of the things that we do, and one of the things that your church does, is One Day to Feed the World. When Pastor Jimmy came back from our trip, he cast the vision. You guys responded. You gave. You prayed. And you do that annually, and we thank God for that. That's how you've prayed it and paid it forward. You enable Convoy to do Jesus and Bible stuff because of your sacrificial giving and your prayer support. So we were able to have trucks fully deployed, pre-positioned before the wind stopped blowing in Texas and Florida and the Caribbean. In fact, two of our orphanages in Haiti went to our global distribution center and began to pack food. Orphans packing food for disaster victims. And I told our in-country director, and I'm like, He said, Jeff, that gave so much significance to those kids that we feed every single day. And the school said, let's do a service project. So they went over to the warehouse, took a busload of those kids. And I thought, God, now that is full circle discipleship. Because those kids are learning that, listen, I'm not going to be in this life pattern forever. And I was so excited to hear that. You've made all of that possible through your giving, your praying for Convoy of Hope. The other two things that we do besides disaster services is we do community events all over America. We've done over 1,000 of these events where we serve the poor, working poor, and homeless of America. Jobs, haircuts, groceries, medical, dental exams, and so much more in those venues. In fact, City on a Hill, I think in Milwaukee, was birthed out of a Convoy of Hope outreach. We've done a lot of work in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's been very, very good to Convoy of Hope and our network of churches as well. And then the third thing that we do is we feed kids. We have 982 schools and orphanages. In 11 nations, we serve 162,500 kids every day, the only hot meal that they'll receive. In addition, we're following that up with water purification. When I came on Convoy of Hope 8 years ago, we've pastored 23 years. I've been at Convoy 8. They gave me a cubicle, a MacBook, and said, here you go. This is where you start. And we were all jammed in the warehouse over there. We were serving 16,000 kids a day when I started at Convoy 8 years ago. It is staggering what God has done, and this is what God has done. I told the group last night, this church is preparing for the future, for a potential missions trip with Convoy, to go on a field team to deploy to one of our nations that we serve in, and to have a great missions experience. So you should be thinking and praying about that. When it comes on the radar, you might want to go. And I told the team last night, we do not believe in miracles at Convoy of Hope anymore. We count on them. We count on miracles. And maybe you could take that into your own life and say, hey, what room am I giving God to do something so significant in my life right now? And I love your pastor's heart. I love Dana's heart. They're leading you to trust God more. And you know what that's based on? Intimacy, what your associate pastor said in communion. Intimacy is the foundation of everything we do with the Lord. And what is that? It's your relationship with Jesus. Now, I can say this with some degree of authority. My dad was born and raised in Sweden, and we were not just Lutheran. We were very Lutheran. Until the Holy Spirit tampered with my dad. And then he got tampered with, and I'm like, what's this mean? And what it means is you're bringing Jesus home with you and taking him to school with you, and you're actually going to read the Bible and pray, and it's a relationship with Jesus. We're like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, this is pretty cool. You know, not just what we do in the house, but we bring it to our house. And I'm not throwing the Lutheran Church under the bus or any other organization. I'm just saying, my dad got so rocked, and my mom was Pentecostal holiness. And I'm like, what did you even do marrying this guy, Mom? Like, she's swinging from the chandeliers, talking to Jesus himself. And so we had this moment in our family where the Holy Spirit came in and did a work in all of us kids. And it was a beautiful thing. And you know what? Anytime the doors were open in our church, I kid you not, we were there. My mom was a buyer. My dad was a salesman. They were in the corporate world. We were just your average family being raised in California, 3 kids, and God has done a work. So I will tell you, the place where I'm from, nobody's ever even heard of El Sobrante. It means the leftovers in Spanish. That's where I'm from. I mean, it's just a little obscure speck in the northeast San Francisco Bay where Jesus decided to invade a family and a home. And you know what church we went to? We went to Central Assembly of God Church in El Sobrante, right on the corner. And that is where we learned about the world, missions, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. So listen, you're blessed to be here today. You are blessed. There's a mom preparing a pancake breakfast for her little boys. We'll call them Kevin and Scotty. And the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. And their mom saw the perfect opportunity for this moral lesson. And she said, now, boys, hold on a minute. Let me tell you, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. Well, the two boys sat silent for a moment. And then the 5-year-old Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, okay, you be Jesus. And so, when the pressure is on, that's the challenge, to choose to be like Jesus. When the pressure in your position, in your place in life, with the power that God has given you, with the authority that God has given you, to bless and serve and consider others with Christ-like kindness. And to think about this for a moment. Jesus was the CEO of the universe, he and the Father. And he came, and the Bible says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to do what? What we just celebrated communion, to give his life as a ransom for many. So if Jesus Christ comes with a towel and a basin and is ready to wash stinky, filthy, grimy feet, who do we think we are? To live above that. Jesus is saying, serve people and you'll begin to discover my will for your life. Amen? You serve people, you'll always have a ministry. If you wake up every day and say, Lord, where do you want me to go and who do you want me to bless? God will say, I'm hanging out with that guy because he wants me to bless the world through him. Versus, hey, God, I need you to do this and take care of this. And God's like, yeah, but I would really like to fix your attitude right now, Jeff. I'm like, Lord, you can work on that later. Just bless my mess. And the Lord's like, no, not going to do it. So it's a relationship with Jesus. Here's a story. I think you'll be blessed by this. In Texas, just south of Houston, from Hurricane Harvey. And we just give God the glory for being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. The good people with the good hearts that she was referring to were not the Convoy of Hope people. They were the church that we deploy with. So far in these disasters, we've partnered with over 300 churches where Convoy resources at their property. Right now in Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rican Assemblies of God and other networks, Vineyard, Open Bible, where we will use their property to be a POD, what we call a pod, a point of distribution, and people will come through to get water, food, ice, open and eat food, Bibles, prayer, whatever it might be. And so that's how we operate. Anywhere we go, whatever we do, we always do it in partnership with the local church. So we never go uninvited, and we never do our ministry alone in the field. And so I'm just thankful for that today. And of course, the partnerships that we have around the world. At first, I thought some people were going to say, they're going to think this is Mexico, but that was just South Texas. And we're just so thankful today for the National Hispanic Leadership Coalition that has joined forces with us. Pastor Choco de Jesus, Sammy Rodriguez are some of our main advocates right now, and they're just doing great work. Well, a couple of weeks ago, here's a picture of, it's a very unusual picture. It's tough to see this inside there, but that is inside a KC-10 extender aircraft that deploy on different convoys around the world. It is part of the, at Whiteman Air Force Base fleet, and it's the 509th, 131st Logistics Readiness Squadron of the United States Air Force. The colonel from Whiteman Air Force Base called Convoy of Hope and said, hey, we would like to do a missions project for Convoy. Do you need anything flown anywhere? We're like, yes, we do. How about sending 70 pallets of food, more than 89,000 pounds of food to ready us for the hurricane season and drop it off in Port-au-Prince, Haiti? He goes, you got it. He deploys, and ladies and gentlemen, that is government money well invested. I just want to say, they came to Convoy with their trucks, picked it up, brought it back to Whiteman, loaded the KC-10, flew it to Port-au-Prince, unloaded it, took it to our warehouse, and then they spent the night and saw a little bit of Haiti, saw a little bit of Convoy's work, and they all got back, and we got a beautiful letter from the colonel, who happens to be a Spirit-filled Christian. Hallelujah. So I was thinking, man, he's discipling the men and women in his squad to keep their eyes on Jesus. But we gave them so much thanks, and we were just so grateful for their work. It's our job to take partners, prayers, and generosity and to multiply it. And so we serve a God that can multiply our life and a God that can multiply our resources. So you don't give to Convoy. Today at the end of the service, you receive an offering. You don't give to us. You give through us because we're going to bless others through the work that we do with Convoy of Hope. You can check out all of the social media handles, the website, convoyofhope.org, for more information. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Matthew 25 and Matthew 28 are kind of like where Convoy lives. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, when you serve the least of these, you serve me. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this good news. And so at Convoy, we're giving people help practically. And at Convoy, we're also sharing the good news. We don't just give a meal to somebody and say, hey, have a great day. We share hope, practical help and hope, but we also want to make Jesus famous. Amen? In everything that we do, we're not just throwing food off the back of trucks or out of helicopters. In fact, we don't do that. And we're making life better, but we're also making the kingdom of God bigger. And so I want to thank you guys for just the good work and being a friend of Convoy of Hope. You helped make all of that happen. My friend Sean Dunn said this, compassion that leads you to action is always a direct prompting of the Lord. The enemy will never prompt you to be generous, and neither will your flesh. If God prompts you to serve, give, or love someone outside of your comfort zone, see it as an opportunity to obediently follow your King. Just keep that quote up there for a moment. There's the slides right there. I'm just looking on the back wall. I just noticed that. Sean runs a Christian radio station where he has kids and people call in every day to receive Christ. He's one of our partners at Convoy. He helps raise funds and friends for Convoy of Hope. And I love this quote because you could use compassion or kindness that leads you to action is always a direct prompting of the Lord. Why? Because we always want to be served ourselves. As human beings, we wake up every day and we kind of, what's the first face we seek? Ours, in the mirror. And then we get some coffee. And God's saying, you know, when you seek my face, I'll take care of you. I'll take care, I'll meet all of your needs. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's a story. One of the ladies in our program, and her name is Angelina. This next slide. Actually, no, it's not. This is a kid getting water from a water purification system in Haiti. And I was there just a couple weeks ago and took a picture of this dude. He was just getting some water out of the Sawyer Point 1 water filter. And all the kids were just laughing. They were just giddy with excitement because for the first time, this school got clean and pure water. And they just couldn't wait to get up in there and get some water and fill up their water bottles and then go back and eat lunch and wash it down with a clean bottle of water like you and I just get by the cases or right out of our tap. Next slide is the kids in Haiti praying over their food. It was really interesting, this particular school. All the kids waited until the last child was served, then they all stood and they prayed like the Pharisees. I mean, they just prayed loud. They're like, Lord Jesus, thank you for Convoy of Hope. And like there's nine of us standing up against the wall with our video cameras going, and we're all just like, we got tears streaming down our face. You know, we're all bawling and stuff. And the kid's like, amen. And then it's dead quiet. You know that moment when you know everybody's hungry after they get their food and nobody's talking anymore because they're just shoveling it in. It was that moment. And I realized in that moment of silence, when you hear children eating, that that is a sound that's music to my ears and to the people that support Convoy. And I just thought, Lord, be glorified today in this. They're precious kids. This happens to be a public school right at downtown Port-au-Prince that we serve in, about 75 kids at the school. Next slide. Excuse me, 750. This is where I took your pastor to this place. This is the Sandino garbage dump. Did we go to the dump? Yeah. Right outside of Managua, Nicaragua, and we serve about 2,000 people there. families that generational poverty, they recycle all the trash of Sandino and Managua. And it's a pretty pitiful place when you go there. It's like, hey, you don't hang out at a garbage dump, but people live there. Thousands of people live there. And there's hope amidst the rubble and the lifestyle. This next picture is the slide of one of the kids that I met there. We share the same name. He kind of went nuts because we did share the same name. And I said, my name is Jeff. ¿Cómo te llama? My name is Jeffrey. He said, my name is Jeffrey. And we gave him a high five, ate some candy, took a selfie. That was this moment. And all those little hombres behind me. Well, what I didn't hear was the rest of the story from his teacher, that his mom and dad each worked three different jobs, so six different jobs in the family. There's five siblings. And the family is just struggling to make ends meet. But because the child goes to this school, he gets a great meal every day and a nice snack to take home. And then on Friday, he gets a bag of food that has rice and beans, cooking oil, maybe canned meat, some power bars, some Plum Organics, whatever we may have in inventory in that country at the time. And it's just to kind of take the edge off and give them some food for the weekend. Because when the kids aren't in school on a holiday or a Saturday or a Sunday, guess what? Some of those kids don't eat. And we realize that right away in some of these developing nations. Next slide. Pretty cool. This is Elena. Did you meet this young lady with us? Okay. She was raised at the dump for 10 years. At the age of 12, she ran away. Started living on the streets of Managua, had her first child when she was 13, second child when she was 15, third child when she was 17. At the age of 18, she was lashing both children to her legs and holding the other one and sleeping under a sleeping bag on the streets of Managua so that the human traffickers didn't take her babies. For 3 years, she lived like that. At the age of 21, she heard about Convoy of Hope, and she came to one of our program centers and said, I need some help. They got food. She learned some micro business. She learned how to take care of her babies. They gave her temporary housing. And today, she's the assistant director of our women's empowerment program for the entire nation. So listen, when she stands up in front of a group of mamas and babies, you could hear a pin drop. Because her story is so potent of God's grace and God's power. And she's just super sweet about it. She just like shares her heart. She said, you know, if any of you want to receive Jesus, I'm going to pray in just a moment and then bow your heads and close your eyes. How many of you want to receive Jesus? Like the whole Convoy of Hope staff is raising their hands like, I'm going to receive Jesus again. Because it's her. She's got this quiet authority. And yet her story is so powerful. I said, Elena, what's a scripture verse that God, I could tell your story when I travel across America and tell the story of Convoy. And she said, here it is. Next verse. Next slide. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes and places them in seats of honor. And I told her, I said, well, that's like the best Bible verse ever for you. And she said, I know, Jeff. And I said, Elena, how do you feel? And she said, I feel clean, and I feel like there's hope for me and my nation because of Convoy, but because of the body of Christ. It's Christians being salt and light in those nations. And so who knows? Maybe you'll get to do a mission trip to Nicaragua. Who knows? Maybe you'll get to meet her. We do mission trips all over the world, and so as the Lord is directing and leading, possibly Haiti or wherever it might be, wherever the need is and wherever the Lord directs, you will be blessed to be part of going and seeing and being part of what God's doing there. Next slide. These are our farmers in Haiti. That's Pastor Jessner. So this guy on his knees, he's an associate pastor of a church, and he has a couple of side hustle businesses, and he drives for us in addition. He's one of our farmers, and he's in our ag program, and they're growing more and better food in Haiti. What's really cool in Haiti is they have had just bumper crops of beans and rice and corn, and they're taking the tonnage of all of the crops and the harvest and cycling it into our food program. Right now we serve 94,000 children a day in 400 schools and orphanages in Haiti. and the Haitian farmers are growing 25% of the food consumed in the program. 7 years ago, it was zero. So they're hopeful, like, hey, we can grow better rice than you Americans. We're like, absolutely. If you've ever eaten Haitian rice, you will know it is delicious. Their black beans, their corn, it's out of this world. And so whenever I go to a restaurant in Haiti, I'm like, you know, making sure it was grown and raised here, because that's the best stuff. And the Haitians prefer their own food. Next slide is our pretty trucks, thanks to Speed the Light, AG Young People across the world and the U.S. helping provide. That's the newest truck in the fleet. We rolled one in North Dakota 2 years ago, put it on its side. Thank you, North Dakota Wind and Ice. And insurance paid for part of it, and then there was a gap, and then Speed the Light just paid for the rest of it. And we have about 15 of these, and we're grateful for their generosity. Next slide. This is in Victoria, Texas. This is our main point of distribution. All of those are convoy semis, and that point of distribution where you can see the cars going way down that causeway, pulling in, receiving help and hope. The water, the food, the flood buckets, the Bibles, the prayer. And this was featured on CNN and Fox when they went down. And also our VP and Senator Ted Cruz were there, and did a little presser from that. And so we were honored that they came and just kind of gave us a little press, but it was so good to meet them. And what's a cool thing is when Vice President Pence showed up, our president was there, Hal Donaldson, and some of our executive leadership team. The first thing he did when he got out in Secret Service, are like, you know, they're just freaking because there's so much room. He just circled everybody up and had a word of prayer as soon as he touched down at our POD. Stopped everything, like sucked the oxygen right off the property. And then there was this holy hush of purpose that came, and everybody was like, cool. Thanks for the prayer, Mr. Vice President. When's the last time that happened in your world? You know, thank God for godly leadership and people that are just pushing people to look up and to say, Lord, this is wonderful. All right, next slide, and I'm just about done. I'll give you that's a pile of food, ladies and gentlemen. Those are many, many bags of food, about 5,000 bags of food. And so that's a common sight at Convoy of Hope. When people exit an event, they always pick up some food. So next slide. That's one of the barges in Haiti that's bringing hope and supplies to an island that was hit pretty hard during this last hurricane that hit there. And then this is the Roger Vincent, and this is Convoy of Hope's barge that we rented. Every container on there was supplied by the churches in America. $6,000 a container, $50,000 worth of retail food and water in every container. And this is a picture of the barge leaving the port in the U.S. And I know it's not too glamorous, but I just wanted you to see it because churches across America have been receiving offerings and being very generous toward us. I'm not sure what else is left. Next slide. Well, that's what it's all about. I took that in Nicaragua when we were driving. So how many of you know God loves people? And God loves using people to help people. Next slide. And one happy little girl in El Salvador. My text is Acts 2. And really, I'm just going to give you three thoughts as I wrap up today. Yeah, go ahead and go to that slide. Awesome. You're doing great. It's Christian, right? Thank you, buddy. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I'm going to read it from the version that's on there. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we just took, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the people shared, all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each enjoyed, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I want to just follow that up with this verse, 1 John 3, 17 and 18. I'll link these thoughts in a moment. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Dear children, let us just stop saying we love each other. Let's really show it by our actions. Now, this is the Bible. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? How many of you believe the Bible is the truth? How many of you believe we should live the Bible and live up to it? So I did not make this up. This is in the Bible. And the Bible just told us a load of living and how we can serve other people. So there's three big ideas that I want to give you today, and I hope it's not what I say today, but hopefully what's started in your hearts that matters to me when you live it out, when you take this. In the early church, they practiced this next big idea that I'm going to give you. They practiced good deeds. They just found places to serve and to do things to help other people. Helping a neighbor, helping a friend, practical stuff. That's what Convoy of Hope does. Honestly, coming from the pastorate, and I miss the pastorate, and I told my wife and kids and family, they're like, hey, Dad, do you think we'll ever go back and pastor again? And I said, I don't know, maybe, but I'm just enjoying this assignment that God's given me. I love the church. Pastors are some of my best friends, their families, and missionaries. But at the end of the day, I had to unlearn some things when I came to Convoy, because helping someone in Jesus' name is a very spiritual thing. We think preaching the gospel is the most spiritual thing, like, you know, accept Jesus, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And sometimes you have to do something in order to capture their attention and befriend them, connect with them. And the world is not responding to the message unless there's actions attached to it. So good deeds should lead, and good deeds should lead to the second point, goodwill. Where people are thinking, hey, I trust you. You're a credible person. You help us. Family in South Dallas. I was there for an outreach, and a guy gets off the bus with his wife and four kids. It was 7:45 in the morning. He had caught the bus at 7. He shows up. I work in the line, and I'm just walking out there greeting people. They're waiting to get in the outreach. We had about 5,500 guests of honor, 1,000 volunteers coming to get help and hope. He introduces himself to me, and I said, hey, what's your name? He shared his name. I said, what's going on? He said, well, I live in an apartment right now. He said, I lost my job. We had to take the bus to get here. But he said, we need everything that's inside there. And I said, do you know what's inside there? And he goes, yeah, shoes, haircuts, groceries, medical and dental exams. And he said, I need a job. And this guy's like 28 years old. And I said, man, I'm praying for all those things to happen. And he said, could you show us around when we get inside there? I said, absolutely. He gets in there. They get all the stuff they need. They just go through the line, and they're on the property. And I started to spend the morning with him. And the first thing he did is they went to the lunch area. It's 8:15 in the morning. And each child got two hot dogs, two bags of chips, and a bottle of water. And they sat down at the picnic table, and they ate like they had never eaten before. And all of a sudden, I realized they were hungry. They didn't have anything to eat in their home. And that's what happened. So they eat lunch at 8:15. Then they get up, and they're feeling pretty good, and the kids go get a pair of shoes, and they got some new Converse or some Toms, those Tom slip-ons. And then they're going over to the kids' zone, and the dad's going over to apply for a job, and the mom goes over and gets a manicure by the North Texas District Women's Ministries, and they have dozens of women waiting with little numbers, and they did manicures for all the ladies, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves about now, right? I wouldn't know, okay? But I just hear that when I want to score daddy points, I give my wife and daughters like little gift cards to Unique Nails, which is down the street. And they love me. They see me coming in. They're like, Jeff, are you buying gift certificates today for all your girls? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. I can't wait to get out of here. How much is it going to cost me? $200. I said, I want manis and petties. Okay, all right, $50. It's like, just give it to me. I'm running out to my truck and get out of here. Hopefully none of my friends saw me come in here. Surrender the man card. But so this day is turning into a good day, and he comes up to me, and he just gives me this big old hug, and this guy's ripped. He is in shape. He's worked construction. He works sheetrock. That was his trade. And so he's a great sheetrocker. He's just out of a job right now. He comes up to me, and he just gives me like this hug, and he said, man, he said, this is a great day. And he said, I just got an interview for a job. And he said, God's doing something in my world. And I said, so what's your background? And he told me his background. He had been a backslidden. He was raised in the house of God. The point I'm trying to make is that the good deeds and the good things that were happening opened the heart of this man to goodwill. He was a complete stranger off the street. And I'm like, hey, he's not a stranger. He's my friend. And he said, Jeff, thank you for this. And I said, hey, thank God we got a lot of people that do this. Goodwill then opens the door to the good news. So you've got good deeds, which open the door to goodwill, which open the door to the good news. And this is Matthew 25 to Matthew 28. It's the evolution of saying, hey, when somebody comes into your world, you don't have to feel like you have to just ram the gospel right down their throat, because you're going to choke them. What they need is some trust and to see your life and your example. The world is not changed by our opinions, it's changed by our example. Jesus knew that, and so he constantly lived the lifestyle in front of people around him. And so that's the three ideas: good deeds, goodwill, which kick open the door to the good news. Now, does everybody get saved? No. Does everybody drop their knees and confess Jesus as their Lord? No, but it opens the door and it plants the seed of this gospel into their hearts. Amen? And I will tell you, every place we go, this works in every continent, every culture, and every country at Convoy of Hope. This works because it's in the Bible. It's the early church. It's just Jesus and Bible methodology to reach a culture. Now, does it take time? Yeah. Is there a point of question? Absolutely. We don't just let people off and not ask the question, hey, would you like to receive Christ? But I love what this says in the scripture. It says, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs. So while they're doing practical stuff, there's this miraculous flow of God's blessing. It was practical and it was really spiritual at the same time. It's pretty cool. John Maxwell says this. He said, God says, you give me everything and I'll take care of you. Or, you can keep, next slide. Or, oh, there we go. Actually, there you go. There's the three ideas. Good deeds, goodwill. Let's say it together. Here we go. Good deeds, goodwill, good news. Next slide. John Maxwell. He said, God says, you can give me everything and I'll take care of you, or you can keep it all and take care of yourself. And how many of you know the best life, and I'm telling you, I've learned this the hard way, the best life is the surrendered life to Jesus. It really is, you guys. I know you know that. Maybe some of you here, you're struggling. I'm struggling today with some areas in my own world, in my own life. But at the same time, God is saying, back to what Pastor Jimmy was saying, it is trust. It's based upon getting closer to the Lord Jesus every day. And that's what we drive people, we encourage people to do at Convoy of Hope. Whenever we go in to a situation, we're just saying, hey, God, and I tell my teams this all the time, just to snap your God goggles on, because you're about to see things through God's eyes. And if you would start your day every day, just pop your goggles on and say, God, let me see my world and my job and my city and my family through your eyes. when you get your God goggles on, you will quickly realize, man, God has been at work. We've just been walking right by it the whole time. I shared the story with my neighbor two and a half years ago when I was here. Jerry's my new best friend. He was the neighbor everybody told me not to talk to. And one summer, I just mowed his lawn, and I didn't think anybody was home. He happened to be watching me the whole time out his window. He's like the neighborhood crank. Everybody's got a Jerry in their life. And I mowed his lawn. He came out on his front porch, stopped me, walked up to me. I thought he was going to assault me. He stuck out his hand. I shook his hand. He said, "Thanks for mowing my lawn." I said, "You're welcome." He goes back in, grabs a beer and an apple. That's all he had. He said, "You want a beer?" I said, "No." He said, "You want the apple?" I said, "Yeah." We sat on his porch for 30 minutes. He told me his story. He drank the beer. I ate the apple. I thought, is he going to remember anything I'm saying? And then he had, with tears streaming down his face, he goes, "Thank you for being a neighbor to me." And I said, "Yeah, I just came over to mow your lawn, man, because your lawn was long and I know it was hot and you have a push mower." He's 67 years old, not in very good health. Well, that was 4 years ago. Jerry's my new best friend. Whenever he sees my old red Dakota quad cab truck in the driveway, he comes over, knocks on my door. He stands right on the porch. He doesn't come in. He's like, "Jeff, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He said, "Where you been?" I said, "Well, I was just in Haiti." He's like, "Why do you go to Haiti?" I said, "Because it's part of my job." He goes, "Oh, it's a Convoy of Hope thing." I'm like, "Yeah." And then I was just in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He goes, "Why are you going to Green Bay?" And I said, "Because I'm speaking in churches." He's like, "Okay, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm good." He said, "Okay, Jeannie and I want to have you guys over for dinner. So just whenever works out, see you later." Just walks back to his house. And I'm like, and my 16-year-old daughter, she's like, "Was that Jerry?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Dad, you're the only guy in the neighborhood that talks to him." And here's the deal. Jerry has not confessed Jesus yet, but I'm just telling you guys, good deeds open the door to goodwill, and goodwill opens the door to the good news. It's awesome. And I'm like, "God, you're making me live my sermon. What's the deal with that? You know, I just want to go in and preach and leave me alone." And the Holy Spirit's saying, "Nope, you're going to live this out when you travel, when you live your life at home," on and on. So, Proverbs, and I close with this. The world of the generous grows larger and larger, and the world of the stingy grows smaller and smaller. Here's what's cool. I'm going to connect all these in a moment. When you trust God every day and say, "Jesus, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to bless?" God will give you some very cool assignments. It's an adventure. Christianity is not boring. Amen? Jesus is so interesting and powerful. As soon as I mention the word church, God, or the Bible, people shut down. But you talk about Jesus, they're like, "Oh, Jesus is really cool." Jesus is interesting. He's at work in the world. And we're his people. Well, there's a story of a child. It was the worst day of his life, and not a long line at Starbucks or a bad hair day. It was a real-life horror story. August 26, 1969, at 7:35 p.m., a knock came to their door. And it was the babysitter who answered with three boys and a girl. And they were greeted by two uniformed police officers who came to deliver the message that those children's parents were in a horrible auto accident and their father died instantly from a drunk driver coming down the wrong side of the freeway at 75 miles an hour, hit them head on, killed their dad, who happened to be the pastor of a little church in Northern California. The mom was fighting for her life. They didn't know if she was going to make it. The kids wept. The deacons and elders of the church came over and said, "Your daddy's in heaven. We're not sure if your mom's going to make it." Like a flash mob, neighbors gathered on the front porch, and a California Highway Patrolman stepped onto the porch and said, "Are there any family members or friends here who would take responsibility for the children tonight? Because these kids need help. Otherwise, we'll have to take them downtown to the station." Well, a young couple across the street named Bill and LaVeda Davis volunteered. The Davises had a single wide trailer with a family of five. and they took these four children, three boys and a girl, ages 14 to 5. They all moved in a single wide trailer, now 9 and 10, when their mom got well and was able to come back. Here's a picture of that trailer. And next slide. There's a picture of the trailer. Two families, 10 people living in a small trailer. Now go back to that last picture. One of those brothers is named Hal Donaldson, and he's the president of Convoy of Hope. And that night, when he moved into that trailer, Hal is the little blonde guy right there, kind of leaning in. And Pastor Harold Donaldson, his namesake, was killed that night. And Mrs. Donaldson, to the right, went home to be with the Lord 2 years ago in Branson, Missouri. And all of the four Donaldson children, Dave, Steve, Susan, and Hal, are all serving God, are all very successful people serving the Lord. And Bill Davis mentored him for a year and said, don't let this get you bitter and down, but God has a plan. So God planted the seeds of Convoy of Hope that night when they moved into the trailer across the street. I just had lunch with Hal a couple of weeks ago at his little favorite Mexican restaurant, and I said, Hal, what was it like standing on the porch when that CHP said, somebody's got to help these kids? And Hal said this. He said, Jeff, it was the longest minute of my life because nobody spoke up. And then finally, a neighbor did a good deed, which created an ocean of goodwill, which has opened the door to 84 million people hearing the good news through Convoy of Hope. And I told Hal, in your wildest dreams, would you ever have thought that God would use that one act of kindness to birth a worldwide ministry? And he goes, no way. He just said, we can't think that far out, but God's got a plan. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the day. Lord, I've gone a couple minutes over. Forgive me. But I pray